Good morning, church. That's better. Hope everybody's doing well. Want to join with Brother Don and challenge you to remember this Memorial Day weekend as we, many of us, will barbecue and go on picnics and have a good time with our family and our friends. Let's remember what the day is all about. And also, isn't it awesome to be able to remember Jesus today, to remember Him, to remember His sacrifice. We're so glad that you're here today. Also want to put a little plug in for Sardis Lake Christian Camp. If you have not signed your kids up, I want to encourage you to do that. You can go on our website and find the link to Sardis Lake Christian Camp's registration. Go ahead and sign up for that. This morning, if I asked you, I want to kind of begin with this question. If I asked you why or how or what you would say as to the whole purpose of the gospel, what would that answer be? How would you describe what being a follower of Jesus is all about if I asked you that question? That's a loaded question because we know that there's a whole lot that is involved with following Jesus, right? There's a lot that's involved with that. For example, here's a few ways we may try to describe or quantify what following Jesus is all about. Someone might say, well, there's some rules. There's some rules that that we could follow that God has given us. Some legitimate rules. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do not steal. Lust is off limits. Lots of rules that we could follow, but most of us, even if we had all of those rules listed, we would sit back and go, you know, that doesn't really completely quantify what following Jesus is all about. And someone may come up and say, well, how about some principles? There's lots of principles. For example, that principle or that rule of do not lust. Well, you know, in today's time, we have some opportunities to engage in lust or lots of other sins that maybe they didn't have back then, like the internet. So we understand that there are principles that apply to our lives. And just because we know the rule, but we don't know how to apply that to our lives, it really doesn't quantify what following Jesus is all about. We also might say, well, there's lots of scripture that we need to read and study, and you know, there's scripture to be memorized. And for some of y'all, maybe you have the ability to read scripture and you can memorize it really quickly, and you remember facts and figures. And some of y'all who were raised up in church, you know all the stories of scripture. But even knowing all of the facts and figures and all the stories of scripture, all the names and all the events, doesn't make one Christian, does it? And even if we add in all of these rules and principles and facts, these together don't really fill out the full description of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I don't know if you thought that I was going to give you the Cliff Notes version here in just a minute, but I'm sorry to disappoint you. What I am going to do is share something with you that I believe is an absolute necessity in following Christ and is really at the foundation of who God is and who we are. And we're talking about relationships this morning. For some of you who go on our church Facebook page for our members, you know, from time to time, we ask questions of one another, and you guys answer. And I asked a question recently over this past week. This very question that I asked beginning our lesson today. The question was, how would you define or how would you quantify, how would you, in 10 words or less, describe or define what it is to follow Christ? And I want to thank you for answering. There were a whole bunch of answers to that. And I was really curious as to how we would define it and how much relationship would show up in those answers. And if you have seen that answers to that question on the Facebook site, you know that by far most of them, I would say if there were 20 answers, 18 of them had to do with relationship. So thank you for thinking that question through and for answering that question. We're talking about relationship today. Relationship, I believe, is at the heart of almost everything that we do. And the examples are too numerous to create an exhaustive list, but just think about a few of them. We had a marriage night here last Friday night, not this past Friday night, but the Friday night before that. And if not about relationship, what would a marriage night or conference be about, right? We've been celebrating, just last Sunday, we celebrated our seniors graduating. Why are we doing that? Because we have a relationship with them, right? Many of you will send your kids to camp, and raise your hand if you're going to camp this year. There'll probably be somewhere between 30 and 40, or maybe even 50 adults and kids going to camp this year. Why do you think? I'll just give you my own story. My kids started going to camp, all four of my kids started going to camp, literally when they were just babies. And I know some of y'all was like, oh, I can send my baby to camp? That's great. No, you got to go if you want to, as a counselor, and then you might can take a smaller kid. But we took our kids when they were literally babies, and just about all of them have continued to go to camp as they go through life. Matthew now graduated from college, in his master's program, working as a nurse. He's coming back to be a counselor at camp. Actually, he's coming back to be the nurse this year. That's a scary thought, isn't it, if you know Matthew? But I wondered, I asked myself this question, why did my... camp? And I thought, well, I wonder, was it the menu? Has there ever been a kid who went back to camp just to get the corn dog nuggets? That's always been on the menu. And they are scary little things, I'm telling you. How about the accommodations? Any of y'all ever gone to camp for the accommodations? Oh, definitely not. How about the heat rash? The bugs? The way it's shaping up, it's going to be a really hot summer at camp this year. Now, you don't go to camp for those reasons. You go to camp because of the relationships that you form. After spending a week on a spiritual journey with others, other kids and other adults, you learn some things about each other. And you grow with one another. Maybe you even share some of your darkest fears, your darkest worries, maybe even what you consider to be your deepest sins. It's the relationships forged that cause kids and adults to want to go back over and over and over. You know, there's a reason why Paul Bennett was an incredible youth minister. And is it nearly descriptive enough just to point out the fact that he's knowledgeable about the Bible, he's a good teacher, he knows how to interpret and explain Scripture? It's the relationships that he forged and through which he pointed kids to Jesus. That's why Paul is such a great youth minister. And there is nothing in life, I challenge you, find something in life that is more rewarding are more disappointing than the relationships that you have with people. And if you have the blessing to one day be on your deathbed, you know, death doesn't take you suddenly without any warning, but you have the opportunity to be on your deathbed and to be thinking about life and have the lucidity of your mental faculties to where you can think about your life in a logical manner, I promise you, you will be thinking about relationships. You will be thinking about the people that you love and about the people who love you. Nobody on their deathbed, and I'd be willing to probably, if I was a betting man, put a little money on this. Nobody on their deathbed regrets not having slept more, or not having shopped at a different clothing store, or not having watched more TV. Nobody regrets that. Everybody, if there is a regret, it's going to be about a relationship in your life. One maybe that let you down, or probably a relationship that you fear you let down. And your greatest joy as you reflect on your life is going to be the people that loved you and the people that you love. Relationships are at our core, whether or not we remember that truth or not. And so that is who we are. We are wired. We were built for relationship. And God, if you think about this vertical relationship that we have, you know, we're geared towards relationship, and God is also geared for relationship. That is at the core of who God is as well. Let's take a trip back and just look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. Therefore, I'm going to make a helper that is suitable for him." You were wired, you and your wife, your spouse, y'all were wired to need one another. We are made for relationship. In Genesis chapter 3, we see God calling out to the man, "Where are you?" And back in just a verse before this, it says, the man heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so it really gives us this idea that this was something that God was in the habit of doing. God walked with man. He was into relationship with man as well. Genesis chapter 6, we see this picture of, what a slide from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 6. Such a short section of Scripture, but the Lord looked and he saw how wicked man had become. This is a terribly discouraging thought in this passage. The Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. You see, God never intended. He didn't intend. That wasn't part of his plan. He didn't intend for us to go so far from him that he would get to the point literally that he was sorry he had made us. It isn't what he wanted or intended. He desired a relationship with us. A little bit later in chapter 12, God is beginning to rebuild. And he calls Abraham and he says, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great. And through you, all people on earth will be blessed." See, God is building a family. All the way over to the New Testament, we see Jesus coming into the earth, coming into the world, coming onto the earth as a baby, and Scripture says that you will call his name what? Emmanuel, right? Which means what? God with us. God with us. So God is still longing and trying to have a relationship with his people. And I love Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. God sent him, talking about Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Folks, this is really such a no-brainer. Why would God go through such agony, such betrayal, such rebellion to be with us? Why would he go through all of that to be with us if relationship wasn't at the core of who he is? And so we're wired for relationship. We are made to be in relationship with one another. God wired us that way, and he is into relationship as well. And I think it's really interesting that we look at the will of God, we look at the purpose of God, we see how God planned to do his will, and we see that God's will is done through relationship to him. His will is done through us having relationships with us. And it's how His purpose, it's how His purposes will be accomplished. And sometimes people say, I know you've heard this cliche, God works in what? God works in mysterious ways, right? But it's not so mysterious when you think about the fact that God works His purpose through me and you, is it? I mean, we're all looking, and we all would love to see some miracle. We want to see something supernatural. We want to see something that we could say is only God, and there's no way it could come from anyone but God. But God designed for us to spread the word about Him through the earth. It isn't rocket science. It isn't something that is really, really complicated. In fact, if we had a whole panel of missionaries here who had gone into another country in order to spread the gospel, and we asked them what their plans were, I would almost guarantee you that the number one step for these missionaries, maybe after learning the local language and the local customs and figuring out how their social systems worked, they would say it's to make relationships with the people. Before the gospel was shared, before the Bible was preached, they would make relationships with the folks that they wanted to reach. Why? Because that would be their best possible chance of success, is to build relationships with these folks. So why are relationships so important to the kingdom? I'm going to just offer you three reasons why this morning, why relationships are so important in the kingdom. And this is sort of, this is a 30,000-foot view in August before our new life group season begins, which is all about relationships. We're going to come back to these all three of these ideas, and Paul and I will have a series on these. But number one, it's how followers are made. I want to challenge you to think about how you became a follower to begin with. Think about that. Some of you were raised in a church-going family, and you know, you had your dad, your grandparents, maybe folks in your own home church family to thank for that. Others of you didn't grow up in a church family, and there's somebody else, maybe somebody outside your family, who forged a relationship with you. And though God is fully capable of miraculously causing something to happen in your life that will cause you to look to Him, it probably had more to do with somebody with some flesh and blood. Someone who cared enough to be Christ to you. We often talk about vision, love God, love each other, serve the world. We often talk about the great commission that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, to go into all the world and make disciples. Do you ever feel like that you're not up to the task? Come on, we can be honest about that, can't we? Anybody feel that you're not up to the task because you don't have the education, or you don't know enough scripture, or you're not bold enough, you're too shy, whatever the case might be? You're just not up to the task. You don't feel sufficient to the task. You lack the skill, you lack the knowledge. But what if the key ingredient? What if the key ingredient isn't any of that? But it's relationships. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I want you to think for just a second about just one aspect. And there's so many different areas we could go into when we talk about relationship. But think about just one aspect of building a relationship with somebody else, and that aspect is trust. All right, when you trust someone, will you listen to what they have to say? If someone comes to you and you trust them, would you listen to what they had to say? And that's why trust is so important because trust is influence. And when we lose someone's trust, when they don't trust us anymore, then we lose influence with them. And so at the very foundation of us building relationships with one another, we are building trust in one another. Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself. Do our neighbors trust us? Are we building trust with our neighbors? If we are, it will be an impossibility for them to trust us and for us to have relationships with them. It will be impossible to not have some sort of influence, because that's the way God designed relationships. And so we need to remember that followers, disciples are made not because of overwhelming brilliance or scholarship. They're made through relationship, and it's how God designed it. Secondly, it's how followers grow. How many of y'all remember the story of David? King David? David does some bad things, doesn't he? He is not, in some areas of his life, he's not a good man. Even though he's a man after God's own heart, David always knew where to go after he messed up. But there were some parts of David's life where God had to send him some help. And who did he send? Anybody remember the guy's name? He sent Nathan, right? Why did he send Nathan? Why didn't he send some stranger off the street? Because they had a relationship, right? They knew each other. David trusted Nathan. And no doubt Nathan was scared to death to go and to face David and share with him what God told him to share. But he did. And David listened because they had a relationship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. The Hebrew writer says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to love and to good works. You know, there's a whole slew of one another passages in Scripture. Because that's how the followers of Christ grow. We challenge one another, sometimes by simply encouraging and leading, and other times we challenge each other by confronting one another to live more Christ-like. I remember an instance early in my ministry here, and a couple called the office and they wanted to come. They wanted to come see me. They wanted to come have a meeting with me. And so we set the meeting up. This couple came. By the way, they're no longer here. They moved a few years back, but they came and they talked to me. And the reason for them coming was because I had done something to offend them. And thank goodness they felt close enough to me. They felt like there was enough of a relationship with me that they could come and they could share how I had offended them. And you know what? They were right. I was guilty. But it gave me the opportunity. They gave me the opportunity to apologize and make it right. And thankfully, I had enough humility, at least in that day, to hear what they had to say and realize that I needed to make a change. And I can tell you today, it's not a mistake that I've made since. And after that, we became actually probably even closer than we were before that, because they cared enough to hold me accountable. They cared enough to want me to see that there was something that I had done that I didn't need to do again. I didn't need to make the same mistake again. Folks, God fully intends, this is not accidental, God fully intends for us to be accountable to one another. He fully intends for us to grow because of our association with one another. He fully intends for us to encourage one another, to rebuke one another, to help, to, you know, when we need to be told to suck it up, he fully intends for us to say those words, say them in a way that is loving and caring. And he fully intends for us to hear the words that we need to hear and not be so prideful that we won't change when change is needed. Relationships are how followers grow. And then thirdly, relationships are how our faith survives. How many of you today have had your faith shaken at one time or another? If your hand isn't raised, it's just because your arm was too tired. or you just didn't want to raise your hand because your faith has been shaken. Maybe on the off chance that it hasn't, it probably will be at some point in time. Your faith will be shaken. And when your faith is shaken, hopefully you're going to have the mindset to go to God. Hopefully you're going to have the mindset to sit in prayer, to sit with Scripture, to cry out to God. And I can almost guarantee you that every single time God is going to put someone in your life to whom you share a relationship to help you through that tough time. And those of you today, maybe you're thinking back to the rough time in your faith, when your faith was really shaken. And chances are you even know who it was that God put in your path. I remember a time in life when I was really shook. And it was an emotionally draining situation. One of those times when, you know, you can't sleep, even though you're exhausted. We all know those times. And there was a man. He wasn't even particularly a close friend, but I had to make a long trip, and he just drove me. That's all he did. He didn't have particularly talk a lot. Didn't have any great words of wisdom to say. He just drove me. And sometimes I imagine Jesus just driving us through life. And maybe he's not there with the words that we're really hoping to hear, but he's there, and he's available. God rescues our faith. He rescues our faith through his people, through the relationships that we have with one another and the way they can speak into our lives. I love the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse Paul, and 1 verse 4. And Paul says these words. He says, God comforts us in our troubles so that, does anybody remember? God comforts us in our troubles so that we can, what? We can comfort others. See, God comforts us. He provides the rescue that I need, not so that I can take it and let it go to waste, but so that at some point in time, he puts somebody in my life that I can take that same comfort, that same rescue, and I can rescue someone else. One of the ministries that we have in our church is our small group ministry. We call it life groups. Summer is here, and some of our life groups are continuing to meet. Others will end for the summer. But on August the 11th, tentatively, we will restart these groups. We'll reform them and restart them. And it's going to be our goal to focus on building relationships. Why is that so important? Because we believe that relationships are that important. We believe that relationships are God's way of helping to make disciples, helping to form disciples, and helping to rescue folks whose faith is on shaky ground. God's desire, church, is to be in relationship with us. It is how followers of Christ are formed. It is how followers of Christ grow. And it's how our faith can survive when life hits. Lesson is yours today. And I pray that as we all gear up for a busy summer, lots of vacations and lots of things going on in our lives this summer, that we won't forget about the relationships in this church. We won't forget that we have these relationships for a purpose. They're not accidental. They're not just, oh, this is a bonus for being human. No, these are designed by God. Designed by God to carry out his will. So the lesson is yours, and I want to ask this morning if there's anybody here with a special need, whether it is to repent of sin, to ask for prayers, there's something going on in your life that you need the relationships that you have in this church to come together for you, to help you through a tough time. We want to be there. We want to be we want to be that kind of family for you this morning. And if you've not named Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do that today, to be buried with Christ in baptism. We would love to welcome you to the family in that way. Please come as we sing.